I'm Spooky.
Hello, I'm C-Mex, and this is Matrimony and Madness.
I don't know why I got quiet.
Oh, I was going to do a whole intro.
Sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. We are a podcast of two married people who started dating on Halloween, got married on Halloween, and we just strive to make everyday Halloween. We're a family-friendly podcast, but we still discuss blood and guts and all things spooky. And thanks for listening. I feel like I'm on a smooth jazz radio station.
I like it. Smooth jazz.
Will you hit me with the hello?
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 You okay?
You okay? Oh, don't even get me started on that story. Y'all want to talk about horrifying stuff? Spooky sleeping is horrifying. So the you okay joke is one time I'm laying there.
There's one time that he slept.
One time I slept. The one time I did sleep, I was laying there, and I just hear a literally like this, "You okay?" And I look over, and she is asleep. Like, she is, if you could picture someone being asleep, like a dictionary, someone asleep, their face, it's going to be, you know, a T-score of around the acceptable value of what asleep would be. She was asleep.
Okay, so I used to sleepwalk really, really bad when I was younger. Like, to the point where Django has the fuzzy stuck in his...
What are you eating that?
To the point where my mom used to have to put the vacuum in front of our front door because I would walk out to the middle of the street.
All right, hold on.
What?
Hold on.
What?
You just... Don't bother me while I'm cleaning my room! When Doofy runs out with the vacuum.
Yes.
Don't fuck, dude. All right, sorry. You did that to me.
So, apparently I was able to unlock and open doors, but I couldn't move a vacuum out from away from the door. I don't know. It was weird.
That was the next level boss.
Yeah, basically.
You didn't level up for the vacuum.
I didn't. I couldn't.
The door and the door handle.
I can.
Got it.
I can vacuum. Turn, but moving an object, no. Nope. So I don't sleepwalk anymore, thankfully, but now I just talk really bad in my sleep, especially if, I'm sick or really tired. So I just talk really bad in my sleep. And apparently, C-Max has said that he has seen me with like my arms up in the air
or yep.
Just, you know, weird.
Contorted.
Yeah. Just weird positions. And it's no wonder I go to the chiropractor every weekend.
So to the burger story.
So... Okay, so here's the burger story that from was mentioned week, from last week.
The highly coveted, you guys had to wait a whole week, and I forgot to say it. We want to start the podcast with a little bit of rambling and banter because it's not really that fun to just be like, hey, we're a podcast that deals with horror stuff. Here's some horror stuff. I don't know. That just
unless you're just here for the horror stuff.
Which is fine.
Sorry.
That's totally okay. But I think you'll be here. You're here for the burger story. So here it is. So, a couple weeks ago, I went to pick up my brother-in-law from the airport, and it was in Jacksonville, and I pick him up, and he's from California, so he's a little bit jet-lagged, and it was probably like 9, 10 o'clock, and he didn't think he was... He pulled a U. He didn't really think he was that hungry. We got all the way to the hotel, and he's like, yeah, dude, I think I'm hungry. I'm like, dude, the drive from the airport to the hotel was like 26 minutes. And he's like, yeah, I think I'm hungry. So... We had kind of the couple days that we were going to be there planned out with what we were going to eat. Shout out to Post Tavern in Jacksonville, Florida. Shout out to River and Post in Jacksonville, Florida. Best salmon I ever had. Anyway, so he looks up this burger. He didn't want to do DoorDash, so we look up this burger joint called Mary's or Maria's. Shout out to whatever it is in Jacksonville, Florida. And the reviews are great. He's all about it. And so we get there. We park the car, and we're kind of, like, a little woozy at this point, so we don't notice that, like, the windows are all, like, blocked with, like, see-through, like, black stuff that you can't see through. And the first thing we see is this male couple, like, taking this picture in front of, like, the... You know in Cobra Kai, the wings
yeah.
that Johnny Lawrence is, like, when he's taking pictures for what's her face.
It's like a picture wall. Like at Disney, they have picture walls.
And so we're like, oh, this is nice. And it was like cooler because like with the weather in Florida has been really nice. And so we don't notice that the windows are totally covered up. And all I see, Matt is her brother. All I see is him open the door. And then keeping it was the door handle that like comes out. You have to like wrap your fingers around it. He opens the door, keeps his hand on the door, and just closes it. And he's like, "Yeah, dude, I don't think I can eat here today." And turns out it was a drag bar, which we have no issue with at all.
Which
and,
I actually love going to drag.
And honestly, I kind of wish we would have ate there. But what made Matt freeze so much is he opened up the door, and apparently the first thing he saw was this huge butt in a this huge male butt in a G-string. And he was like out of it, and he didn't like, you don't even, like, yeah. If you're going to Texas Roadhouse, you expect to ride on a saddle if it's your birthday. You don't expect to see a huge butt in your face with it eating it, swallowing a G-string when you open the door. And so I guess we didn't, it's not really a burger store because we didn't get to have the burgers. I mean, we did DoorDash and get Checkers, so I mean, I guess we did end up having burgers.
I mean, that's true.
Would have much rather had the burgers at Mary's or Maria's, but you know, we didn't. That's a burger story that I mean, I forgot to tell yesterday.
It's pretty good. It's actually a good transition to these two little news things I want to talk about because. The GLAAD Awards, which I don't know if you know what the GLAAD Awards.
Wait a second.
What?
The burger story transitions into the GLAAD Awards?
Yes, because, okay. Yes.
I want to see where this goes.
I'll tell you why. Okay. Because I'm just going to read, because I don't want to mess it up.
Sure.
So the GLAAD Awards recognize and honor media, all sorts of media, mm-hmm. for their fair, accurate, and inclusive representations uh-huh. of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer community. Mm-hmm. Which is why it's a good transition. Okay. Because you guys ended up going to a drag bar instead.
We were talking about burgers.
No. Anyways. So, I don't know if you guys saw on our Instagram post. But one of the nominees for Outstanding TV Movie at the GLAAD Awards was Fear Street Trilogy. Mm-hmm. Which was one of your top five. Mm-hmm. And then another nominee for Outstanding New TV Series was Chucky.
For sure.
And actually, both of them do have mm-hmm. good representation. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was super excited to see that. They both deserve not only I think they both deserve awards in general. But I was really excited to see that. I think that was cool.
Yeah, I don't know where we are with like. Emmys and things of that nature. Like, did that already happen?
Oh, like the Oscars or?
I mean, Chucky ain't winning an Oscar, unfortunately. As much as there, like, if there is a comedy category, it should be.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like you treat that show like a, obviously it's not a drama. There's probably not there's not a horror category.
Do they have a TV series horror?
They do have a TV series, but like, you're going up against.
So many. Yeah. I mean, that's true. Like, I mean, honestly, well. I guess it's not a new TV series, so it doesn't even matter.
But I feel like, if I remember correctly, I feel like What We Do in the Shadows has been nominated for stuff before.
Has it?
I mean, I'm not frantically searching on Google to find out if this is accurate or not.
I don't know.
But I'm pretty sure I remember seeing something. Like, The Walking Dead has been nominated for stuff too, but I mean,
yes,
the first couple seasons of that were
oh my goodness,
bar
so
none
good.
Perfect TV.
It
so.
Was so good. It was so good.
So, I mean, it's a little different than Chucky, but.
I mean, yeah.
Chucky's still great.
For sure.
A couple of news pieces that I saw were, and there's a lot of news out there, y'all. Like, we're not going to sit here and cover every single thing. So, definitely there's outlets out there to give you the skinny, because we're not going to just sit here and talk about news. But in May, they're going to be filming a MonsterVerse show, which I don't know why it's called a MonsterVerse show, because it sounds like it's just going to be Godzilla. Because it's based off the 2000, it's based after the 2014 Godzilla, although we've had like three movies after that.
So are they going to include like the other, what are they called? What are like the 10 different types of monsters? Like, what are they called?
What do you mean by that?
Like, you know, Godzilla mm-hmm. and then like.
The Titans.
Titans. Mm-hmm. So is it just like a show about all the Titans or just Godzilla?
It's just Godzilla. What they're saying is it's about Monarch, which is that like that government
organization. Yeah.
But we find out a lot more about them in the other movies, so I'm not sure like... I don't know. It's very awkward. It's a supposedly working title called Hourglass, and it's going to be on Apple TV, which I don't have. So, yeah, I guess we'll just have to plan. But it's like, it's not even it's not even going to start like production until May, but I just thought it was interesting the route they're taking.
Yeah.
Because I am a big fan of King of the Monsters. Like, I liked King of the Monsters better than Avengers Endgame, I'm just going to be honest. Like, that year, I would have rather watched King of the Monsters over Endgame. And then Godzilla vs. Kong was pretty good, too.
Yeah.
So this one's after the 2014 movie, and I'm not really sure why, but I guess we'll find out. And then, this is awkward. This is weird, because if I ask, so let me, unless you know, if I asked you when A Quiet Place Part 3 was supposed to come out, when would you say?
Okay, well, based on that one episode where I was like, the first episode where it didn't make my top five because I thought it came out 2 years ago.
Yeah.
My Quiet Place.
Well, think about it. It's been done. It was supposed to come out in 2021, right?
Uh-huh. September. Yep.
Well, I'm sorry. We're in 2022. I can't remember what year we're in.
Exactly.
It was going to come out
in 2020.
September 2020.
A Quiet Place 2. Yes. Yes.
And then it came out, what, February, March 2021.
Yes.
So now we're a whole year.
Okay.
I'm going to come out. It's January 2022. So if I asked you, when do you think part three is supposed to come out?
I'm going
to
say, I would say, July.
Of this year?
Yes.
So here's where it gets weird. I'm pretty sure it was supposed to come out this year.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It had a delay we didn't know about
to
March 2023. Now it's been delayed all the way to September 2023.
What?
So what that's...
That's bizarre.
That's almost 4 years from the second one.
That's crazy.
And what? That would make it almost 6 years from the first one? Weird.
I just feel like...
We missed the first delay.
I feel like, you know, the kiddos are just going to be so aged.
Yeah, you'd have to, I don't know.
That's so interesting. Huh, okay.
It's we're running into potential Stranger Things danger here. Stranger danger here?
Stranger.
We're running into Stranger Things danger. Stranger danger. So, thank you guys for tuning in and listening. Thanks for listening to the first two episodes.
Are you ending the podcast?
No,
that sounded like
transitioning. I don't have any more news. When I look up horror news, it's this movie's getting remade.
No,
this
movie's
getting remade. Here's 14 movies on Shudder that are probably going to be 2 out of 10 stars. Or in our review scale,
PAX. I just posted a Shudder
which
thing.
Is fine. And that's okay. But this isn't our job. So
unfortunately,
we have to pick and choose. Like,
I was
what
just
we're
asking because you were like, all right, guys, thanks so much for listening. I was like,
I just want to give... How come me trying to get... This is the second time today I've tried to give thanks for something and someone's like, yeah, don't do that. And it's like, dude, let me show gratitude.
No, I'm not saying don't do that. I was just like, wait a second. It just, you know.
First of all, before we even started this call...
Why are you yelling?
I almost said Comcast. they've also made me very mad in the tenure of my life. Before we started this podcast, you called me the B word. So, let's not even...
No, I didn't. You called me the B word. No. Should I pull up the recording?
No, I was singing a Kubla Khan TX song. You called me a B word because I've had a rough day. And you're like, I'm going to pretend to do the podcast by myself. Hi, guys. It's spooky. Matrimony and Madness. C-Max isn't here. He's in bed because he's a little beep. That's what you said.
Because I was trying to be funny.
It was funny.
And you laughed.
It was funny. And I wanted other people to enjoy that experience that I had of you. Of you deprecating me. Now I'm self-deprecating myself. Anyways, so we appreciate you guys listening. We've had a big surge and the episodes keep going up. No episode right now. The pilot episode is still getting love, which means people are jumping on and they want to start at the beginning, which is really cool. So we appreciate you guys. We appreciate you guys listening. And we've been getting a lot of feedback on what we can do or what we can do better or what you really like. So keep that coming. We'd prefer that you start conversation with the community, but even you guys just messaging us is perfectly fine too. I'm not going to tell you, you know what? I'm going to ignore you because I want you to go post it on the social media. No, do whatever you want. I'd prefer if we get a community started. There's a community in the Discord, but like whatever. You guys coming and talking to us is awesome. And we appreciate the love, especially the love for last week's intro because I was really proud of it and I thought it was really funny.
It was really funny. So we are going to touch base real quickly on a new game that we played last week? This week?
Last week.
It's called Rainbow Six Extraction. Siege Extraction. And let me just tell you guys something real quick.
Tell them.
A game that I'm like, when it first got announced, you can ask C-Max, I was jazzed about.
You really were.
I was like, dude, I am so stoked for this game. This is going to be my game. I love GTFO, but man, that game is hard as crud. So this game looks like it could basically fill that void and scratch that itch of GTFO that I want to play, but I don't want to torture myself while playing it because GTFO is very, 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 very hard. But I didn't get it on release, and I waited, and it was a good thing
What do you mean you didn't get it on release?
Okay, that's not what I meant. I meant, like, I didn't, like, pre-order it. Because I was going to pre-order it.
Well, like, I was about to say, we did play it on release.
Yes, so I'm sorry. That was my bad. I didn't pre-order it, which is good that I waited, because all of a sudden, Microsoft was like, hey, it's coming to Game Pass, and I was like, thank goodness I didn't pre-order it. We got to play it for free, which was nice. For the price of Game Pass.
Price of Game Pass.
Yeah. So, what did you think of it?
So, I'm going to have to block you again.
Okay.
Because I'd like to keep a running tab of how long we're going to do this. We got to give a little insight into the game. They don't know what it is. They haven't if they haven't played it, they literally have no clue.
Okay, well, how about, you know what?
You've also got a little crummy in your hair that's like really throwing me off, dude. Please, please get it out of your hair. It looked like.
Okay. Okay, wait, pause. Can we just start?
It looked like a Cool Ranch Dorito, dude. We can start over, yeah.
Okay.
We start the whole episode.
Okay. I'm going to erase the last 17 minutes and 11 seconds of this.
Whoa!
Okay, so we played a new game, yada, 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 blah, 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 blah. C-Max, why don't you tell them a little bit about what this game is?
You know what, Spooky?
Why I pull up the selfie camera and get this thing.
No, I think you got it out. I think it's... Oh, no, it's still there. Ah! Please get that out. All right, guys. So, Rainbow Six Siege Extraction is a three-player co-op game. You're probably wondering, is it like Rainbow Six Siege, which is a game made by Ubisoft Montreal, which Rainbow Six Siege Extraction is also made by Ubisoft Montreal, who make some of the Assassin's Creed games. They make Far Cry. They made some of the Splinter Cell games. They didn't make the best Ubisoft game ever made, which is Rayman Legends. Hot take. Bring it.
I mean, that's a great game.
So Rainbow Six Siege, if you guys don't know, is just a multiplayer 4v4 game where you have like one life and one team are like terrorists who may have to like defend a hostage or plant bombs and then the other team comes in. So this basically plays into that lore of that universe, but it has to do with, it's co-op, it's not multiplayer. It has to do with this unit called React, which this is fun to say. Rainbow Exogenous Analysis and Containment Team. I guess that's why they call it React, because that's horrible to say.
Nobody wants to say that word salad.
Basically, the world's gone to poop, and there's these aliens called the Proteans, and there's different mutations of them, and they're basically on Earth. However, in the game, you'll go to like New York and different like places, but like you're confined to these like really small areas. So it's like, has the Rainbow Six React team like quarantined, which was the working title of the game before it was made to Extraction? Has the team like basically been like, you know what? we've been able, all of New York City, these aliens are now in the mall. Like, I don't know. It's, this game, Spooky didn't play this, but she played the game. She's not going to play what I'm talking, she didn't play what I'm talking about. This game, they honestly got the idea from Rainbow Six, they did a co-op event in Rainbow Six Siege. I don't know if you remember, called Rainbow Six Siege Operation Chimera Outbreak. I don't know if you remember that.
What's up with these long
I know. Names? But do you remember?
I do.
There was a Rainbow Six Siege co-op event that I played.
It sounds from, yes, yes.
That was really good. I remember playing it. I think it was four players. So they basically took that and made it into this game. And it's, you kind of hit the nail on the head. So basically, you use the Rainbow Six Siege operators who all have their own perks. So say somebody can maybe heal. Somebody can maybe use their ability to scan the walls to make sure that, to like basically get a radar detection of people coming. Someone may be able to have a big mallet that can knock walls down so you can make different paths.
Yeah.
Each mission gives you like three steps to do. So one might be like, you got to get in and extract this thing. Another one might be able, you have to plant this device. And then another one might say you have to
rescue someone
yeah. or hunt a big elite or something.
Yeah.
There's a risk and reward. So you pick the operator based off the mission, three players. There's a risk and reward because you can choose to extract after each mission. So similar to The Division, which is an Ubisoft game, where you would go to the dark zone, you could get the loot, yeah. call the helicopter, leave. Same thing with Battlefield, where you could, Battlefield Hauser Zone, where you could get the tape, you could get the drives like an Escape from Tarkov, and you can choose to extract. There's a risk and reward there. After each mission, you can choose whether to extract, and that's how you get XP, and that's the XP levels up. Not only the XP levels up your operator, which is probably hit or miss for some. So if you have an operator that you really like, you can level them up. But then if you switch to another operator, like, you did nothing for that operator. This is on a basis of per operator that you use.
Yeah. Or you can keep going through the mission and just gain more
XP. Yeah, gain more XP, which will ultimately level up your operator faster.
Yeah.
There's four different difficulty levels. The game really emphasizes, it tries to capture the multiplayer by emphasizing like stealth and being slower paced. It's not necessarily, like, if you're a fan of Back 4 Blood, Left 4 Dead, like Left 4 Dead, I don't remember ever trying to stealth anything unless you see like a witch. You know what I mean? You see the witch.
The witch
and you
would
stealth.
Be the only thing, yeah.
But like everything else, we're moving.
And it's just stealth to get past her and then running again.
And we're running and gunning and we're blowing stuff up and... This game really wants you to play it very safe.
I mean, GTFO stealth.
It wants you to go about it that way. It's not your run and gun. So you basically go through the missions. You do the objectives. I'm maybe sounding like I'm not giving it justice, but that's really is what it is.
That is what it is.
There's really no lore. There's really no story. Like I said, you're like. How did we get these aliens confined to the mall?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not sure. I think the gunplay is decent. I think I think if you were to go in with randoms like Anacrusis, they're making these games where you almost
this
have
game,
to have,
you
have
need to.
To
have a
Anacrusis,
team.
I played by myself and I did okay. This game, actually, if you play by yourself, it's supposedly easier. But I think if you were to queue up with randoms, it'd be very difficult.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost better to go in alone if you don't have friends.
Communication,
100%. Yeah, you have to communications. You have to tell someone when to pop their ability.
Yeah.
There's missions where... So one of the things is, if you die, that operator you're using, you have to rescue them.
Like, yeah, and you can't use that same. So if I'm playing as the healer or whatever, and I die as the healer in the next mission, I can't play as that healer because that healer is dead
in
my loadout.
Yeah.
I could play as the tank to try to rescue said healer or whatever.
They basically
whatever.
Turn into a Twinkie. There's this foam.
It's weird.
There's this foam that makes them in a Twinkie, and then they're in that tree, right?
Yeah.
They go into this tree.
And you have to like yank them out. And
this tree possesses them.
Yeah.
And then you have to yank them out. While shooting these vines that are pulsing to the tree. Very peculiar, interesting take on on the genre for sure.
Yeah.
I think it's way too difficult, like, on the, like, if you're playing on casual, I feel like people put it on casual to kind of relax, enjoy the game, learn the game. I feel like even on, like, the easiest difficulty, you don't really have a chance to do that because you're still getting, like, two shot.
It's hard. It's really very hard. It's harder than I thought it would be. And then, you know, half the time that I'm playing it, I'm like, man, this is so hard. I'd rather just play GTFO.
Yeah, and so the take is good. Like, the operators, having operators with different skills is always, like, a lot of people
like that
variance in gameplay. There's...
I like the different things that you do. Like, I like the different missions. It's a good variety. So
And it's procedurally generated to where, for example, if an operator does die, you might get that mission first to where you grab that operator and you
and
get
leave.
Out. You
or it's even, the last mission. Or it's the last one. And you're like, man, do we keep going? Yeah. Or so I do like that part of it. Okay, so I like these two things separate. So, like, the fact that when you level up, you're leveling up your character separately from your actual, like, overall person. Mm-hmm. I guess, what would you call that?
Your player level?
Your player level. There you go. Your player level levels up separately from your operator level, which I get because you have to level up each operator differently. And then you've got the, if you die as an operator, you can't come back or whatever. I like those two ideas separately. Mm-hmm. I don't like how this game has both those two ideas because it makes it very hard to level up. It's super grindy. And then it's like, if I needed to level up like my tank separately from everything else, fine. Let me just play as that tank. Even if I die, let me respawn or whatever. Yeah. Or let me be, maybe don't, I don't know. It just makes it harder.
I think a big issue is, even on the lowest difficulty, like, you lose the operator. It's like, dude, I didn't even get, like, when we played our first match, we got wiped so quick. I don't even know if I like that operator.
Yeah.
And now you're telling me I gotta go get them back to play as them again?
There's no learning curve.
And some of you, maybe not, might be like, get good. We play hard games. Like, we play, I've beat Bloodborne.
I mean,
like, I've beat Katana Zero. It's not an issue of, I think, getting good. It's an issue of, I think, we have to respect everyone's time.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean? You know, if this was the only game I played, sure. But it's not the only game I play.
I also think it's unfair. I try not to do this, but like you said, and I think we said this during Leanna Crucis, and we're kind of running into the same kind of scenario. I have a hard time not comparing it to, like, what's already out, established, and better.
That's what I'm saying. Well, and that was my issue. I'm just like, I could just be playing GTFO. If I have to sneak it's going to be this hard, I might as well just go play a game I know how to play.
GTFO, great lore.
Yeah.
The missions are structured really well.
Yeah.
Lots of communication, lots of stealth. You get to pick what you want to take.
It's honestly scarier.
Scarier. Way scarier.
Than Extraction.
Extraction never scared me. The emotion I felt was either like, thank God.
Yeah, relief.
Or mad.
Exactly.
So, so I'm going to go hack and slash here, especially free on Game Pass. It's $40 if you were to, it's available on everything, guys. So we need to do better at prefacing, like, and this is, I'm going to take a responsibility for this. We need to do better at, like, prefacing with a synopsis and, like, what you can get it on. Because some of you are like, Game Pass, I don't even have an Xbox, bro.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's available on Steam, it's available on PlayStation, not available on Nintendo consoles. I say it like there's more than one.
Not available on the Switch.
I'd say hack and slash. $40 is rough. There's value in the gameplay, but I feel like a couple bad missions you don't want to play anymore. Like, I don't see it like when I played Katana Zero and you're like, I gotta finish this run. I gotta finish this run. Or like when people play Hades and they're like, I'm gonna go again. I'm gonna do another run real quick. I got 75% of the way. I'm doing like,
I'm gonna do this out of spite. I'm gonna get through this out of spite. I didn't feel that.
Better than the Anacrusis, more developed.
Yeah.
the game is complete, I think, for what they want, but it still doesn't feel like a full game, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does.
So, like, the game is complete. Anacrusis wasn't even complete.
No.
Rainbow Six Siege Extraction is complete, but it's, to me, it's not a full game.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to, like, Back 4 Blood, which was, you know, 20-ish hours.
Yeah.
Like, a full experience. So...
No, for sure. I would agree with that.
I'm gonna say hack and slash.
I would agree with hack and
slash. Waiting to have a game that correlates with the horror genre. That's hard to say.
Horror genre.
That's better than a hack and slash.
Say that again.
I'm waiting for
a game in the horror genre. That's better than hack and slash.
That's
gotcha.
Better than hack and slash. Okay. Maybe it's going to be Martha's Dead.
Maybe it's going to be the
Ash vs. Evil Dead.
I was just going to say
What's today? It's January 27th, and it's supposed to come out in February. Be ready for that hot, spicy
delay.
Push away delay.
Oh, well, that's okay. So.
What did I tell you about your umps?
What did I tell you about being mean to me?
I'm not being mean.
I'm just kidding. So while we were waiting for our pizza to arrive, we did a little bit of a sneak and peek.
Actually, hold on.
Okay.
So we need to do more planning going into this. I thought we did really well at having like a team meeting. And then I realized, you know, I'm taking full accountability. I had a hard day. It is what it is. So
I'm going by the list.
You're right, but like it's a segment that we're gonna do periodically, so you don't want to just go. So we went ahead and did this thing where we sat around and watched movie trailers. So here's a brand new segment. It's called Sinister Sneaks, and I was gonna do a deep evil voice. Maybe we'll do that another time. Do it. Try it.
Okay. Sinister Sneaks.
Sinister Sneaks.
Sinister Sneaks. I can't do it. I'm done.
Why are you whispering to the microphone?
I don't know. I'm trying to be creepy. Sinister Sneaks.
That was pretty creepy.
Okay, thanks. Anyways.
It's like those videos that are going around where someone wears the horror mask and they're not scared and then they pull the horror mask off. Like, they freak out.
I just got to give myself like 5 chins to do it.
Oh, God.
Sinister. Okay.
You already had the Dorito hair, dude.
Oh, my God. Stop. Okay, so anyways. Go ahead.
So Sinister Sneaks is basically just going to be a segment that we do where a lot of the hot trailers that come out, whether it be Shudder trailers that we find, lots of stuff that we're going to talk about this week is on Netflix. We just want to basically kind of get you guys into the world of what's coming out in the reign of spooky. And we're basically just going to give you our initial impressions on a trailer in hopes that you guys will go watch these, because I don't want to just describe trailers to you.
Yeah,
and you guys
definitely
don't watch
these trailers.
If you like what you hear, definitely go watch them. There is no spoiler territory here because it's a trailer.
Yeah,
so
if
you guys want to watch this trailer before we talk about it, like, you're going to have to skip it, and we're not going to timestamp each trailer. I love you, but I'm sorry. So
yeah, no, that's too much.
So let's start with the Netflix segment. Everybody has Netflix or they're stealing Netflix.
True.
So hit them with what's coming to Netflix in the realm of the spoof.
Well, what's coming to Netflix on today, the day that you're listening to it, January 28th.
Oh, yeah, it's a big day.
It is a big day. Is probably two of the most anticipated, I would say, for a lot of people. So this is a really long title, guys. So get ready. It is called Woman in the House Across from the Girl in the Window. And it comes out today. The director is Michael Lehman. He has done some American Horror Stories. He's
like episodes? Or full season?
Episodes. Okay. He's done about 3 episodes. Sorry. Oh my gosh. So basically...
You have to be self-conscious of it.
So basically, I'm self-conscious about it now. Okay, anyways. So this woman who's in a house across from the street.
It's such a stupid title.
I hate the title. I really do.
They were literally sitting there like, what should we call this movie? And they literally just described the plot of the movie.
They just described literally a scene. So
Kristen Bell.
Yes, thank you. Kristen Bell is an alcoholic.
Anna.
Anna. She's also in The Good Place, who well, she's also an alcoholic in that too.
In heaven?
It's not. Yeah.
Oh, they're not in heaven?
I mean, they are. I don't really want to give. Are you ever gonna watch it?
I don't know, but that's like a ball drop for me. They're in purgatory?
No, I mean, it's kind of
that's
hard
okay.
to explain.
That's okay.
You just need to watch it. It's really good. You don't have to explain. So anyways, she's an alcoholic. She also likes to mix her alcohol with some prescription drugs, which, you, as we know, you're not supposed to do. And as she is, you know, on a binger, she is looking through her window, and she sees a murder.
So we think she sees a murder. We don't see the murder.
Well, yeah, we don't see it. But in
we see her see a murder.
And she starts freaking out.
We're looking through the window of the window of the girl in the window watching the neighbor through the window.
Window inception. So she freaks out, calls the police. Oh, my gosh, I saw a murder. And then, of course, there's no murder or whatever. And she's, like, investigating her neighbor. Her neighbor is like, stop investigating me or whatever the heck. And it basically just gets more and more, like, is it because she's just, like, you know, quote-unquote, just drunk or high? Mm-hmm. Is she seeing these things? Are these things really happening? People in her town kind of think she's crazy because they know her as the town drunk. So it's just a fun little, I don't know if it's a comedy? I don't know.
We don't really know what it is.
I don't know. I would say go watch the trailer. It definitely seems fun.
She starts
to watch.
Going around and interviewing people, and what I can't figure out is if there's like multiple murders. Because we see someone jump out of a lighthouse.
Yeah, it.
We see
someone got hit by a car.
Someone got hit by a car. So it's like, is there a serial murder?
Yeah.
Or is she just like a clairvoyant seeing all these
things
happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
They really, it's a Netflix movie, right?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll know in the 2 hours runtime.
I'm pretty sure it's a movie.
That they're going to show us what's what. So that comes out today. You're going to be listening to this on Friday, January 28th.
Yes.
For your viewing pleasure only on Netflix.
Only on Netflix. Also, what already came out, excuse me. That pizza. What's already out, which you can also watch. If you guys are into true crime, there is a show called American Boogeyman. They actually have two different,
said like 16.
I'm sorry.
I was going to write on my thing.
Okay, well, you don't need to start taking like a frequency count. So American Boogeyman.
I don't know if we need to talk about that.
Why?
I don't think that fits, like, what we do.
Okay, well, if you like true crime, go look up American Boogeyman.
Yeah,
that's all I'm going to say.
I don't think we need to branch into the true crime.
Well,
I think that's, like, its whole other,
Well,
it's basically about Eileen Wuornos.
There's also a Ted Bundy one that's coming out.
Yeah.
So, anyways, there is a Korean series that is coming out called All of Us Are Dead that is coming out today. The directors are, please forgive me because I'm probably going to say their name
wrong. We're American.
J.Q. Lee. I know it's J.Q. because it's J period Q. Lee. And,
easy.
And Kim Nam-soo.
Probably
Nam-soo, actually. Basically, it's about, from what we can get from the trailer, is takes place in a high school, you would say?
Yeah.
And it's really kind of silly. Not silly, but interesting because their teacher is talking about viruses. And this girl in a different room gets bit by like some...
It's like a mouse.
Yeah, some crazy
mouse or a rat.
Rat or mouse. And she basically turns into a zombie. And then the whole school basically turns into a zombie. They actually make a Train to Busan
reference,
which was really funny. And it's just about surviving this high school, I guess. But I'm pretty sure it like goes out of the high school fences.
I'm not really sure. I know what this is. This is Netflix trying to capitalize on Squid Game. Let's just go, like, the elephant in the room. If you guys want somebody who's transparent, it's me. That's what they're trying to do. It's a Korean horror show. They've heavily marketed this thing.
But Train to Busan was also really...
I'm saying is, after the success of Squid Game, this show, for how many shows that are like this show on Netflix, this show is getting heavily, heavily pushed and promoted.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
It's Brock Lesnar, whether he's a heel or a babyface, the dude's getting the title within a couple months. That's what's happening here. And I'm not saying it's going to be bad. You've pretty much summed it up. It's zombies. It's Lord of the Flies, because somehow the teachers, they get the professor out of the school and he's being
interviewed
by the police. Yeah. Which maybe he caused the virus.
One of the girls has like a bow and like a crossbow or something. No, it's a bow and arrow. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
well, that's because they have archery class.
That makes sense. I was like, where did this random bow and arrow come from? But that makes sense.
If you like zombies, if you like Korean TV and cinema, which is fantastic, give it a go. Unfortunately, I mean, we'll probably watch it. I just have, it's a hype train for me, and I don't do well with hype trains because it's being heavily pushed because of the success of Squid Game.
No, for sure.
Some of you might argue, well, Netflix has probably watched it, and that's why. And I'd say,
I mean, sure, they have. Yeah.
But like, I haven't watched The Kingdom yet, but apparently it's like one of the best shows there is on Netflix, and I've never seen that show heavily promoted or pushed ever.
Right, yeah.
No, also has either. Zombies, seems like better storytelling and better writing, never been pushed by Netflix. Because of Squid Game, here we are. Even the aesthetic kind of looks like Squid Game. Like, they're wearing, and that's Korean culture with the uniforms. Like, they're wearing, like, almost the same color, like, school uniforms as, like, Squid Game.
I mean, I didn't know.
It's stuff. I my job to, not my job, just my, that's what my brain does.
No, I pick up I on get stuff. That.
I didn't mean to rain on the parade.
So, he rained on my parade.
Of All of Us Are Dead.
I think it's good. I think it looks
good. Well, you know how we figure it out? We watch it. And then maybe next week, I'm like, you know what, guys? I was an idiot. And again, transparency goes both ways.
That's true. So, one of the things, one of the shows I'm actually probably the most excited about, it comes out on February 3rd, which is C-Max's birthday. It is called Murderville.
Oh, my gosh.
It is directed by Brendan Schroff, I think is how you pronounce it, and Ian Morris. And Ian Morris actually helped produce What We Do in the Shadows.
The show. Also, guys, if you guys hear that reverberating, it's Django snoring.
Yeah, it is Django snoring. Mm. He's on his chair right next to me, and he is in a deep sleep. So this show just looks hilarious. Will Arnett's in it. He's one of my favorite people ever. And he is a detective, and he obviously investigates murders. And each episode, there is a special, like, celebrity guest who has no idea what is going on. Like, they don't have a script. It's all just, hey, we threw this celebrity into this episode, and they just have to try to figure out what's going on. And I don't really know what else to say except for that.
I think you have to watch the trailer.
Yeah.
So there's a special guest each episode, and at one point, Conan O'Brien is one of the celebrity guests, and he's dressed like a cop, and he's interviewing this lady, and Will Arnett's like telling him what his name is.
He's got an
earpiece in. He's telling him, and so it's like Impractical Jokers, but it's like an actual script fake show.
Yeah.
But it's while they're filming, they're being like they don't know what's coming.
Yeah, they don't know the murder.
And so Will Arnett keeps telling Conan O'Brien what his name is, but keeps adding, oh, sorry, it's Fur. My name's something Fur. Ling. Furling. Tun. Furlingtonville.
Furlingtonville.
Yeah. So, like, Will Arnett's in his ear, like, telling him what to say. You've got Camille Nanjiani. You've got Marshawn Lynch, which he isn't an actor, so I think that's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's gonna be good. We're not going to drop the cursing quotes, but there are some really funny cursing quotes that caught me out of nowhere that made me laugh really hard. One especially with Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
Because you could tell Marshawn Lynch goes, dude, I'm a gangster, so let's just, like, I'm going to be gangster.
Let's figure this out, yeah.
And Will Arnett goes with it right when, like, we're going to catch this MF-er. And then Will Arnett repeats it out. It's so funny.
It is really funny.
Murder mystery, you know, horror, there's killings and stuff. So, you know, that's why you can include it in there. But called Murderville, looks very, very funny. It's a show. It's a series. I hope they do more because the appeal of doing an Impractical Jokers type show in an actual, like, it's almost like a laboratory setting where you do have a script with extras. Yeah. And
is really funny. Yeah. Annie Murphy is one of them too. She's in Schitt's Creek. She's just hilarious. People who've watched Schitt's Creek obviously know who she is.
Oh, but yeah.
She's just so funny. So she's one of the celebrities as well. And of course, she, I think, can just improv anything. Mm-hmm. So she got, there's like a part where she like dresses up as like a man and has like a fake mustache.
That's everything. A good way to think about it. Everybody is on script except that person who has to improv.
Yeah, they have to improv everything.
The whole thing.
They just go with it, yeah. And it's just really good.
And then they have to guess the murderer is what they're kind of,
yes,
what they're kind of hinting at.
Yes. So those are our Netflix trailers. Definitely go watch them. We have three non-Netflix movies you want to talk about. These are coming straight to theaters.
We would hope.
But we would think so,
It's hard to say, man, because like...
It is hard to say with COVID and everything.
The new Orphan movie was literally supposed to come out today. Every news outlet had it coming out today. And then like a bunch of news came out about how the original actress from The Orphan is... She's now like a teenager or adult. Yeah. And she's going to do like a de-aging process and still be the little girl. But it's like bizarre. The movie's not... Now there's no release date. There was a hard release date.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's... I will say, if you guys play video games or watch movies, video games have been pretty consistent, or you find out they're delayed. I cannot keep up
movies shows so far. Are crazy. Like,
yeah, I can't do it. I literally thought Black Phone was coming out on my birthday because the...
and it got pushed to July something. June or July.
In December, and we just missed it. So
obviously, guys, like if we miss a release or something in your life, and you guys are like, "How come you guys didn't talk about this or see this?" It's probably because we just didn't know that it came out, or we didn't know it got pushed up or pushed back because the releases are all over the place. So I'm gonna let you talk about this one. I'll tell the people who it is. It comes out February 25th, guys. It's called Studio 666. The director is BJ McDonald. He did a documentary about the band Slayer, and which makes sense because of what this movie is about. So go ahead and tell the
story. This movie is basically the Foo Fighters, the actual Foo Fighters.
Yep.
They're recording their 10th studio album and they need inspiration. So they move into this random house and they start to realize that things aren't as they seem. There's entities and spirits that are haunting the house. So what ends up happening, and it's surrounded by a bunch of actors, like the comedian Whitney Cummings is in it. There's a bunch of people in the movie. So it turns out it's almost like an Amityville Horror type thing where Dave Grohl's starting to get possessed by the entity and the spirits in the house and starts to channel it and use it to write their 10th album.
And murder people. Yeah.
And then there's a whole vibe of like, They find what looks basically like the Necronomicon underneath the house. And so the band members are like, we got to save Dave.
Yeah.
And so they're going to probably engage in this ritual to save Dave from the hauntings of the house. And it gives me Pick of Destiny vibes. It's probably going to be super duper dumb. But it looks like the Foo Fighters wrote original music for it. I believe that Dave Grohl wrote the story for it. And Dave Grohl's a gem. The dude played drums for Nirvana, and then he like is in Foo Fighters. Like,
yeah.
I don't know anybody else who's on that level of being like in two bands. Like even like Soundgarden, Audioslave doesn't compare to me to Foo Fighters and Nirvana.
No,
Angels and Airwaves, Blink-182. Like I think Dave Grohl, he's a legend.
Yeah,
and I'll support it. Looks very campy, but it also looks like it has to offer what campy movies offer.
Right.
It has to be funny.
It does.
It has to... And what I saw of it wasn't that funny. It was more or less like, oh, this is a cool concept and idea. It's the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it's not just banking on the fact that it is Dave Grohl and the actual Foo Fighters. I hope it's got some charm.
Some good stuff into it, yeah. The next one that is coming out March 18th. Mm-hmm. It is called X. It is a A24 film. The studio who made Hereditary is involved, which if you guys haven't seen Hereditary, please, please go see that. Cause we love Ari Aster. What was that face?
No.
Oh, The director of this is Ty West. He directed and helped out with the original VHS, the first one, and House of the Devil. Would you like to explain what this movie is all about?
It's... I don't even know where to start. It's filmed in the aesthetic of the 1980s. So it, if I were to tell you this movie was in the 1970s or 80s, you'd believe me. It's filmed in the aesthetic, not just like, not just the clothes and the overall presentation, the film grain and everything.
It's like there was a filter, you know, like on Instagram. Yeah, there's like it looks like, yeah. There's like a 1970s great. Filter on Instagram. It's like they put that filter over the whole film.
It looks great. It's basic. We don't really know where it's going. It's the it literally looks like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like they're in a van. Does. They're driving down the street in Texas, and they just keep talking about how they want to make a movie. They want to make a movie, and it's a group of friends. And they, instead of stopping off at a creepy gas station, they stop off at a creepy house. That's the variance from Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yep.
And they meet this guy, this old gentleman who says they can stay there, and the collection of characters says they're making a movie, and I feel like it might be an adult movie.
It's definitely an adult movie. Definitely 100% an adult movie. It's an adult
with the
movie.
Way they're going about it. And then some weird stuff has to happen. There's a daughter of the gentleman who's letting the crew stay, and she's very into this one guy who is black, and obviously back then she's like, you can't let my daddy know that we're an item, or we're, you know, having these little adventures at night. And we don't really know where that's going, but we know for sure that we'll call him the father. The father knows about it.
The father.
There seems to be some dissonance inside the crew where, like, certain women want to be the stars of the video, yeah. But they can't be. It. And then, to throw it on top, there's this grandma who looks straight out of The Visit.
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen The Visit, please go watch The Visit.
It looks like she's got sundowning syndrome, but what the trailer is communicating is that apparently, like, she's murdering people, or maybe that's to throw us off, but she's very creepy. She's only coming out at night, and it looks wild.
It does look wild. It looks like quite a journey. The grandma definitely... I mean, if you guys have seen The Visit, it's almost like her mannerisms are basically the same. It's cool. She does have basically like a murder side to her, I guess. I don't know.
Murder side.
So that's called X. That's coming out March 18th. And then the last one is...
Also, yes? Jenna Ortega is in both of those movies.
Yes.
Which we said... Last episode,
yes.
That she was built for horror.
Yes.
And look, she's in, Dave Grohl's like, I need her.
Yep.
A24 is like, I need her. Yep. And then the still that the X movie uses is her.
Is her screaming and stuff. Yeah, exactly.
I told y'all, man. I told y'all. Also, the black guy in the movie is Kid Cudi.
Oh, he looked familiar. Yeah. Interesting. So on February 18th, there is a movie.
It's the last one, right?
Yep, this is the last one, guys. February 18th, there is a movie called Cursed. I feel like it's called The Cursed. It's coming out. Director is Sean Ellis. I couldn't really find much that he has directed. So if you guys know, please correct me if I'm wrong. But I feel like this is probably his biggest film that he has directed. It is called The Cursed. I don't really know... I don't think you're supposed to really know what's going on. All that I kind of grasped from it was, and I'm going to explain this, guys, and you guys are going to be like, man, this sounds dumb. But you should definitely watch the trailer because I just am going to explain it really bad. So basically...
You couldn't explain it really bad.
Huh?
That's I'm pretty sure that's what you
said. I said I'm going to explain it really bad. You said,
I couldn't explain it really bad. Well, that would be good then.
I probably meant to say I couldn't explain it good, or I don't know. Word salad and everything.
Word salad. Dave Matthews Band.
So there's like this creepy scarecrow that seems to kind of come to life. In the beginning of the trailer, they were burying this person. I don't know if it was a woman or a man. I couldn't really tell. But they were alive. So I don't know if like that soul or spirit or whatever went into the scarecrow. And now all of a sudden the scarecrow is cursing this land. But people are dying everywhere. There's like this box that has like these silver teeth in it that people are like putting in their mouth, and you know, there's silver bullets, which kind of remind me of, you know, vampires and werewolves and stuff. But, and maybe that's what
it's werewolves.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what this is, werewolves.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if
it's werewolves, guys.
I'm assuming.
Spoilers, werewolves.
Well, I mean,
there
is no spoiler territory here. I don't know if you remember, there was a movie in 2004 called Curse with Christina Ricci. And I think this is like
a remake, maybe?
They haven't really said it because the original title of it was called Eight for Silver. And it was shown at Sundance. And that's why the trailer starts with all these big publications saying how good the movie is.
Oh.
Is they showed it at Sundance. It was called Eight for Silver. But there is a movie, if you guys remember, called Cursed with Christina Ricci and Jesse Eisenberg.
I did see this.
Yeah, and it has, it's everything. It has werewolves. But this looks obviously more like 90s, 2000s, like campy. Whereas this is Victorian era.
Yes.
Very spooky, very ritualistic, very cult looking at times.
If you guys have seen The Witch, it kind of gave me the witch vibes.
The aesthetic it gives.
It also, if you guys want to watch the 2004 Cursed, it is available on Hulu, just so you, in case you guys wanted to watch it.
I will not be watching that, even though Christina Ricci is the reason I like women.
Okay. So that's all we have for you today.
Check out the trailers. We hope you guys enjoyed it. We had to take a breath, man, because I feel like the first two episodes, especially, is it last week's episode, was just full.
Last week's episode had a lot in it.
Very stressful and full.
We talked about a lot of things.
We had the idea that we wanted to do Sinister Sneaks for a while, so we hope you guys liked it. Let us know if you did. Just gives you guys
just some more
insight.
Things to look at.
More things to look and things to look forward to.
Yeah,
that, you know, we might be talking about. Because obviously, I want to see The Cursed. I want to watch Murderville. We'll probably watch All of Us Are Dead because I'm going to come home tomorrow from my 10-hour day and see it's number one on Netflix and be like, well, I guess, you know, Netflix or the people chose what
the
they
people,
wanted us to talk about.
The people chose, exactly.
So guys, we appreciate you guys listening. We're very thankful. Make sure to jump in the Discord. Make sure to check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We appreciate the surge. Spooky's been looking at the numbers way too much, and I tell her to chill out, but she did notice a couple surges this week of people jumping on the different episodes.
So I like looking at data, okay? I just like looking at numbers and stuff.
So we're very thankful for that. Thank you for coming on this journey with us. We're not sure what we're going to be bringing to the table next week, because I told you guys the burger story this week, which is what we had to make sure. That's the content we had to make sure we gave you. I don't want to promise something and then us not get to it because we'll be recording on my birthday next week, which is the amount of commitment I have to the Matrimony of Madness and my wife is that I will be recording an episode on my birthday. Potentially All of Us Are Dead. Potentially this
woman in the house across the street from the woman in the window across the street from the man in the car.
There's a hole in the bottom of the sea. So yeah, potentially those and maybe, you know, some new original content pieces for you. I'm gonna shut up. We're very tired. It's 11:18.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks so much.
We appreciate everything.
We love you. We'll see you next time.